The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Mafia, our boy, the Iron Shep, is hosting on the national radio network tonight, our old stomping ground. So I wish him nothing but the best. Shep, the David Shepherd, he goes by. Obviously, I'm sure now that he doesn't have to listen to me calling him nicknames anymore.
Then again, now he doesn't have to lose all bets to us, do wall sits and all kinds of punishments.
Other than that, if it wasn't for my nicknames and our wall punishments and everything else, I don't even think he'd be sitting there. I mean, that's right, too.
Yeah, you brought him there.
Got that right. So anyway, I hope he does great. I think it's great that he's doing it, and I'm rooting for him. And I think it's even better, actually, that his brother's going to Notre Dame Law School. I think that's more impressive. I think it's one thing to be on the radio. I think it's another thing to get your law degree at Notre Dame. Then you're on your way, baby. I mean, you are on your way. So tomorrow, early in the morning, because, you know, I just wanted to say my son's really cool, but he's a smart ass like I was. And he's, you know, he's at that age now. He's like, soon he'll be 17, and he's just a know-it-all. And he's taking the pre-SAT tomorrow morning. It's like 7:45 in the morning, and I'm like, all right, I got to take him to the test, right? And I said to him, I said, don't stay out late tonight. You got to take the test. He said, the test doesn't count, bro. That's what he said to me. He called me bro. He's like, the test doesn't count, bro. And I've heard him call me bro a few times lately, and I'm not sure that I'm digging that much. You know, I'm not feeling the bro comment. I think it stems from that he plays basketball with me a lot in the men's basketball world that I play in. I play a lot of really good players. But they're all grown men. There's no kids playing. He's the only one that's playing in this world of basketball that I play in. And I let him play, and he's really good. No one can stop him. But he's calling me bro and such. And he's taking the pre-SAT tomorrow. It's funny because he's been doing, as you know, Mafia, he's in all honors, right? He's an honor student. But he gets great grades, and he's in all honors classes or whatever, but he still doesn't care about any of it. And he doesn't like any of it. And I know that he has to, he's in training for the test with these pros that I know, right? Like, I know these teachers that prep students for the SAT, you know, they take time to tutor with these experts that help them do better on the test, because Gunner's already really smart and he can do really well. He took it once already and did really well, but he wants to take it to the next level. and, you know, get a really good score. So the key to the whole conversation is that he wants to, you know, he still wants to go to San Diego State. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to take him to Indiana to see IU. And I think that I'll be able to convince him that it's a better school in a matter of about 10 minutes. We welcome all of our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. Well, good to have you with us on a Friday night. So, anyway, so Gunnar still wants to go to San Diego State. I'm trying to convince him. I'm going to take him to Indiana one of these days. I want him to see IU. I want him to check it out. I think he'll dig it. I think he'll dig the Fi-Sci house. I think he'll see it's a bigger, better school. We'll see. And then the guy that's teaching him, one of the guys that's teaching him, he has one guy does the grammar, you know, the English side, and then the other one does the math side. They're like partners in crime. These two guys, they have this business, and I know them. And so I got Gunnar involved. Gunnar doesn't want to be involved in anything, but I don't care what he thinks. So I put him in there, and it's helping him immensely. But the one guy is Michigan. He went to Michigan. And he's like, you know, don't worry. He goes, because my mom went to Michigan. And in all honesty, I think Michigan is a better school than all of them, including mine. And Michigan's a great school. It's an absolutely awesome education. If you go to the University of Michigan, you are on your way. And he went there, you know, this guy went there, and I said, my mom went there. And so he just immediately caught on to that. And I'm like, he's like, I'll convince Gunnar that he should check out Michigan. Michigan is a fantastic school, but I still don't disagree with Gunnar that he's, you know, interested in getting all that, let's just face it, ass out at San Diego State. I mean, there is more bikini and tail out there than you can shake a stick at, and I just can't get enough of it myself. So, in fact, I'm thinking about going back to college and entering at San Diego State and starting over from scratch, Mafia, even at 56 years old. I want to get some of that college co-ed action going. Check out.
Listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomy.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey, baby, want to go out? corn dog. All right, Mafia. I know you're ready. It's payday, 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 payday. Week 6, Sunday. It all is evolving rapidly. Let's talk about some of these games. How about the Cowboys and Patriots at Gillette in Foxborough? A 4:25 start, a late one. This one will be in the dark and played under the lights up in New England. Who do you like?
I like the Cowboys. I'm surprised this, you know, spread is so low. I know the Patriots are getting by on really reputation right here because they barely beat Houston last week. They should have lost that game last week to Houston. Houston was kicking their ass. Davis Mills was tearing them apart. If he's going to do that to them, what's Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper, and all these other guys going to do to them? They're going to beat their ass.
It is amazing that Bill Belichick is so average now and so exposed and is absolutely no way of stopping the fact that his team sucks.
Yeah, especially, you know, it shows obviously what, you know, you lost with Brady, but now the thing too is Mac Jones is, you know, okay, he's a rookie. You know, he's going to have his growing pains, but the offense is mediocre like it always would have been without Brady because they don't have any other talent around him. And then now you're going against the Cowboys defense that not only you have to keep up with a team that can, you know, make it a shootout, their defense is stepping up this year so far. They're playing strong. They're not playing great. It's not like they're world stoppers, but they're not the sieve that they were the last couple of years. So they can stop them a couple of times. It's going to get, you know, big, big gap here going early.
Which in Portuguese means Bill Belichick can't do a thing that his team sucks. They do. That's all there is to it. They're a losing team. They're going to have a losing season. They're not going anywhere. They have no talent. Mac Jones doesn't know whether he's coming or going. They do nothing right. I can't even believe they were that close in the game with Tampa, to be honest with you. The Seahawks play the Steelers Sunday night at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. The numbers all the way up to 5 now, with the Steelers favored over Geno Smith and the Seahawks. Of course, today the Seahawks put Russell Wilson on the IR. He'll miss at least the next 3 games in automatic. Who do you like?
Not just him either. They put Chris Carson, the running back, on IR as well. Their top running back. Not that they had a great running game, but other guys that they have, he was the more dynamic. He was the one that would, you know, take a little pressure off Geno. Obviously, we know how good Lockett and Metcalf are. And we saw Geno come in there and, you know, make a nice little run at the end of that game against the Rams on that first possession. But I think in the end, what we're going to see more of is what we saw that second possession, you know, where he threw it away, just like he did with the Jets. He's going to make some decent plays. He's a veteran. He's smart. He can, you know, he's a little mobile, but I don't think he's enough to make them a team that can hang with the Steelers in Heinz Field late night. You know, if those winds are blowing, that's going to be trouble for him.
Well, you know, when this game first came onto the board, I thought Russell Wilson was playing, and I was willing to take the 4.5, and now it's at 5. I can't flip now, so I just hope he keeps him in the game. I want the Steelers to win. I think it end up being a good game. I think the Steelers' defense is getting healthier. That helps them. They looked a lot better against Denver last week when I was in Pittsburgh for the game. And they certainly ran the ball with Najee Harris effectively. And then the more they ran Najee Harris, the more Roethlisberger was able to connect with his receivers. So if they get the running game going, the Steelers look like they could go to 500 with a win here Sunday night.
Right. And they do that against a good defense in Denver. Now they're going to play a terrible defense in Seattle.
True enough. The Breakfast at Tiffany's game in London early in the morning. Dolphins and Jags, Miami laying 3.
Sleep in. Skip it. Don't even bother watching this game. I mean, if you have to take a side, I mean, the Dolphins are going to be missing some, you know, they're going to be Xavier Howard. They get Tua back, but they're also missing, you know, the top receiver there. Jaguars are up and down. They started to look like they were coming around there against Cincinnati and then looked terrible last week. I'll take Jackson. Why not? Let's take a shot that they finally win a game here, but I'm not putting anything on it. No, that's going to be a significant amount for sure.
God, you're 0-5. Your season's already over. It's got to suck playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer. Packers and Bears at Soldier Field, a 1 o'clock start. The Packers are laying 6 now to Justin Fields and company.
Yeah, this is going to be an iffy game. This is really weird. I feel like it should be Packers by a million. You know, since Aaron Rodgers has been there, they've kind of owned the Bears. I know Justin Fields looked good against Vegas. I was amazed they won that game. I teased that game down and still got burned because they won it outright. I thought that the you know, Raiders were a much better team. And they just did not show that against the Bears here. Now you got Montgomery out on IR. You got his backup Williams on COVID list. You're going to your third string rookie to kind of carry the load here and take some pressure off of Justin Fields. I just don't see it happening. I think the Packers win by at least a touchdown.
Bengals and Lions in Detroit. Cincinnati's laying 3.5.
Oh, man. Is this the game that the Lions sneak one out that we don't expect? I mean, they got to win at some point. Another, you know, winless team here. They get close. They get tight. 3.5, that hook is what scares me the most here, because I think Cincinnati should win this game. Obviously, they're much better. We saw that they could have some kicking troubles though last weekend, and the Lions are the backdoor cover kings. I think the Bengals win the game, but you know what? I'm going to take a chance that the Lions only lose by a field goal.
I like that bet. I'm with you there. Colts and Texans. Colts are laying 10 in Indy.
This is interesting. I mean, the Colts look great against the Ravens and then absolutely fell apart. The Texans look great against the Patriots and then absolutely fell apart. I think that Indy wins this game. They're the better team. And Wentz looked good last week. He looked like he is getting back to some of the form that they hoped when they traded for him, like those ankles are okay. But when it comes down to it, I think the Texans are a tough team. Mills is looking good. I think that they're going to cover this double-digit spread here.
So the Rams play the Giants at Snoopy. Rams now down to 8. It was 9.5. It was 10.5 when it opened up. I'll take that down to 8, Mafia, on PharrellandEvents.com. Christ almighty.
Yeah, I'm going Rams all the way here. I don't care that Daniel Jones is playing. He's coming off a concussion. One good shot might take him out again. You're not going to have Gallada. You might not have Tony, who was a big, you know, contributor last week when all those guys went down. You're not going to have Barkley. That team's falling apart. The Rams are going to destroy them.
Chiefs laying 7 at the Washington football debacle.
This should be a get-right game for the Chiefs. That spread's a little big. That makes me worry because they're not a team that's covered as good as they've been over the last couple of years. The last 2 years, they've struggled to cover. So I'm going to take the Chiefs to win, but I might take a chance here and take Washington to cover the touchdown or at least maybe tease it up and get it up to 10, 12, 14 points, depending on how big a teaser you want to go, and take a chance there.
All right, real quick. Vikings, Panthers, Minnesota win 2.5.
I'm going to take the Panthers. They burned me last week against the Eagles, but I think they can beat the Vikings with Dalvin Cook banged up again.
Chargers and Ravens in Baltimore. Baltimore down to 2.5 they're laying.
The Chargers are a great team. I love them, but going on the road against Baltimore after Jackson just showed how well he could throw the ball, I think I'm going to go with the Ravens here in that, you know, little spread there of 2.5.
All right, the Browns are laying 3.5 to the Cardinals now. Their whole team is missing the game. Coaching staff, the head coach, a lot of people missing the game. Does Arizona still show up?
I think they show up. I think it's a close game, but I'm still going to take the Browns despite them not having Chubb. I think Hunt's going to be, you know, good enough to carry it, even though he's a little banged up and not, you know, missing all those coaches on Arizona, missing, you know, Chandler Jones in COVID protocol. I think it's going to be enough to help the Browns squeak by here at home.
Denver at homeland 4 to the Raiders.
I think this is Denver's. Raiders are falling apart, obviously, with all the Gruden stuff going on. They got this special teams coach now as the head coach. The guy's calling plays. You know, the offensive coordinator wasn't calling them all season. They looked terrible at home last week against a mediocre, at best, Bears team. I think the Broncos bounce back.
All right, there you go. Sunday's pain day games. And I'll just save the Monday Bills-Titans for Monday's Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. Eastern on the TV side as the Bills go into Smashville to take on the Titans. When we come back, there's a lot of college football to talk about. By the way, Marshall Big, 49-21 over North Texas. Clemson beat Syracuse 17-14 in an atrocious game. Cal leads Oregon early 7-3. San Diego State and San Jose State scoreless. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Brady Hoke. Anyway, I'm watching San Diego State and San Jose State at Spartan Stadium in San Jose right now. Second quarter, no score. Of course, San Diego State is undefeated. I love their uniforms and their helmets. And my son went out tonight rolling in his San Diego State hoodie, looking for trouble, looking for chicks, looking for some leg. But I got to tell you, I thought San Diego State, I said it all week on Coast to Coast, that they would struggle here with the Spartans, who are 500, and it's nobody in the end zone yet in this puppy, scoreless early in the second. Joe Lisi joins us, Gopher to 2, as he does every week, to go through all the college football games that matter on the board on Saturday. Joe, good to talk to you. How do you feel about this game tonight? I don't know if you're watching it at all. I know there's the Oregon-Cal game on. I'm not really – I can't even believe Cal's winning that game early, 7-3, whatever. But I'm more interested in this game, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, two blue-collar teams, Scotty, right? You have two physical offense and defensive lines. This is what it's all about. And San Jose State's coming to play. They were catching 9.5 in terms of a pregame on FanDuel. They're in this ballgame, and if they score first, going to put a lot of pressure on San Diego State to obviously come from behind. That's what you want. But right now, looking like a San Jose State cover.
Yeah, I took San Jose State in the number, and I still thought San Diego State would find a way to win. Are you surprised at the season that they're having?
No, I mean, surprised that it's Brady Hoke, right? I mean, that's been the whole thing that Rocky Long built there. Obviously, Rocky Long moved on, but, you know, predicated a very tough physical offense and defensive lines. Brady Hoke, even though he was a good assistant coach, was never a great head coach in terms of the defensive perspective, especially at his days in Michigan. So, yeah, I am a little bit shocked, but they're winning the San Diego State way. This is the way San Diego State has won games ever since Marshall Faulk left. They have changed their identity. They stop the run, they run the football effectively, and they pound you on the defensive side of the ball, and that's what they do. So good, hats off to them. I'm happy that they're undefeated. Like to see some other teams in terms of the group of five step up.
I don't know. I'm not like Mr. Know-it-all about, you know, San Diego, even though I'm out there all the time. Every year, I think they're building a new football stadium, Joe, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the facilities were the biggest thing in terms of San Diego State, right? In terms of them being able to obviously compete with some of the other teams in the conference and, more importantly, some of the Group of Five teams. I mean, just look at the facilities at UCF. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's unbelievable in terms of what they built in Orlando. And they trump some Power Five schools. I mean, we talk about Florida State all the time. A main reason why, Scott, coaches don't want to go to Florida State is the facilities are absolute garbage. Same thing at Miami. Even though they just pump money in, they're behind the curve of where some of these programs are. So it should be good. It should be good to lure recruits to San Diego. I mean, you have great weather. Cost of living is a little high, but outside of that, things should be fine.
They're showing right now the new athletic center at San Jose State, and it's magnificent looking.
Right.
It's pretty cool. So what just happened, Mafia?
Correa just hit a solo shot, so now it's 4-3, Houston, the bottom of the seventh.
Oh! What do we got here, Houdini?
All right, so, hey, Joe, let's talk about UCF and Cincinnati tomorrow. At Cincy in the Queen City, that number's gigantic at 21 and a hook.
Yeah, it is. Dylan Gabriel's out, obviously the trigger man for that offense. This line last year, Scott, I don't know if you remember, this was the fishy line last year when Cincinnati went on the road. They laid 6.5 in this ballgame in Orlando. They were trying not to score with about a minute left. They fumbled on fourth down, almost gave the game away to UCF in that ballgame, covered that matchup. They didn't cover. They won that ballgame by like 4 or 5 points. UCF is going to come to play. Do they have the offensive firepower, and can their defense shut down Dez Ritter? You know, I'm always a believer that UCF can go toe-to-toe with anybody if you give them 3 touchdowns. So I'm going to take 3 touchdowns with Gus Malzahn and the crew, and they're going to be rocking, believe it or not, astronaut uniforms tomorrow against the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Yeah, I think that's a very dangerous way to make a living, laying 3 touchdowns and a hook. Michigan State is in Bloomington to take on the hapless Indiana Hoosiers, who went from getting all kinds of press and attention to how great the program is to losing again.
Hey, love Indiana. They're coming off a bye week. I think that'll benefit them. I know that Michigan State's hitting on all cylinders. It's back-to-back road games for the Spartans. That scares me. They're still a one-dimensional offense, basically with Kenneth Walker at the helm. That's the strength of Indiana. Their defense holding opposing offenses to 128 on the ground. Extra week of preparation. Jack Tuttle and the crew think they're a live dog in Bloomington tomorrow, and they won this matchup 24-0 last year.
So, well, last year is a different story altogether than this year. So, you're taking Indiana to win that game outright.
I have them +4.5, and I'm going to be taking them money line. I think they win. I think they can
win
this ball game. I don't like
Michigan State.
I don't like back-to-back road games.
Well, they've beaten everybody's ass. They beat everyone. They've been, you know, everyone that, you know, you think they're going to lose every week, and they don't. All they do is win, and they just keep winning and getting it done, and no one believes in them ever, and all they do is win games. Oklahoma State and Texas, that number's 3.5 now. It was 5.5 a couple days ago.
Yeah, I lean to Oklahoma State. I really don't like this game. Been high in Oklahoma State all year long. Now everybody's jumping on them. They knocked the line down to 5.5. down to 3.5, like you mentioned. It's going to be, you know, if Oklahoma State can run, it's lights out. They're going to win this ball game. Texas has given up basically over 200 yards a game, and that's the strength of Jaylen Warren and Oak State. Problem is that obviously if Texas is motivated in this ball game and there is no emotional letdown and they jump up early, it could be lights out. Xavier Worthy, Casey Thompson, Bijan Robinson, they have weapons. Is Texas motivated in this game? They've won two straight in the series. Still going to lean to Oklahoma State. Don't love the game in terms of this matchup, though.
But, I mean, why wouldn't Texas be motivated? They're playing at home, and they blew a 25-point lead or whatever against Oklahoma. If they don't get motivated now, they never will. Their season will be over if they lose this game.
Well, the season is over for the most part. That's the thing. They got two losses on the year already. I know one only in conference, and they have to regroup in a big way. But when you have a 21-point lead in terms of college kids, we're not talking about, you know, Tom Brady. We're not talking about Peyton Manning here. We're talking about 18 and 20-year-old kids. How do they respond in terms of this environment? This is a senior-laden team in terms of Oak State. They're going to come prepared. They're going to come focused, and they're going to be disciplined, especially on defense. That's the biggest thing that Texas broke down with. They broke down with second half adjustments, especially against the run. That was the biggest thing. I mean, how do you give up that run with 30 seconds left, 38 yards? You guys are arm tackling in the final minute, man. That's terrible.
So Auburn and Arkansas are in Fayetteville. Arkansas is laying 4.5.
Yeah, I lean to Arkansas. Auburn's won 5 straight in the series. This game came down to the wire last year. I have no confidence in Bo Nix. I have no confidence in terms of the identity of Auburn. They're more motivated to me in terms of Arkansas and Sam Pittman. More physical. They should have pulled that ball game out on the road in Oxford. Went for 2. That's a gutty call, man. Let me tell you, that is a gutty call by Sam Pittman and the crew. He rolled the dice in Riverboat Gambler. He believes in his kids. They believe in him. That's a great recipe. You lay in a short number under 5. I like Arkansas to cover this line.
So you're talking about that tough loss in Oxford, right? Where they lost 52-51?
Yep.
Wow, that's crazy. But I think they're going to kick Auburn's ass tomorrow, if you ask me. So, and they've had, you know, obviously, in my opinion, Arkansas really ran into a tough schedule with, you know, A&M, Georgia and Ole Miss, ducks on a pond, 3 in a row against those heavyweights. That's a brutal way to make a living. Let's talk about Florida and LSU, Baton Rouge. They're playing at high noon. It's not under the lights. And the numbers up to 12 Florida's laying.
Yeah, a lot of injuries for LSU. Eli Ricks is out. Obviously, Derek Stingley's out. Kayshon Booty's out. A defensive tackle is out for LSU. But this is a rivalry game, and I understand that Florida's maybe the better team on paper. But the bottom line is Florida can't throw the football, really, with Richardson and Jones. I mean, that's the way you're going to have to attack LSU, even though they gave up 330 on the ground. I like the fact that it's an early kick. Catching 12.5 points, I think I have the better quarterback with Max Johnson. I'll take my shots. One of my better picks. I like LSU here.
All right, when we come back, we're going to hit the rest of the top 25 games, including A&M, Missouri, the Kentucky-Georgia game in Athens, Purdue at Iowa. You got BYU and Baylor in Waco, Alabama going to Starkville to take on the Swashbuckler in Mississippi State, Oklahoma and Norman with their coach that bans the media from covering the team after a young kid breaks a story about who the starting quarterback is going to be. Lincoln Riley, the loser, Mr. Running the World down in Norman calling the shots. Ole Miss, Tennessee, NC State, BC. We got it all. Arizona State, Utah. Joe Lisi coming up more.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever panicked at realizing you've lost your lucky troll doll, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Wow, San Jose State with a huge third down and 16 bomb completion. I mean, this game's getting crazy. 3-0 Aztecs right now, in the second. And It's a really good game. It's starting to turn into one anyway. We're talking to Joe Lisi, Go for the Two. He's on Sports Grid every week, every day. He can pro football, college football, full circle. He's all over the place. He's on the bench every week doing his college plays, A&M in Missouri and Columbia. And what did you think of A&M's win over Alabama?
Loved it, baby. Was that unbelievable or what? That was the team that a lot of people thought would challenge Alabama at the start of the year. Finally, they put it together. Calzone, Calzada stepped up. But the way they ran the football on Alabama was the most, I think, intriguing aspect of that win. Physical offensive line. They were averaging 5.2 yards per carry heading into that. Alabama's defense is not as good as people thought. I mean, 41 points basically to an unranked team, and you only drop them to 5 overall. I said it before, Scott. Tell me if I'm wrong. That's fine if you disagree. But, I mean, you had to drop Alabama the way Ohio State dropped to when they lost the game to Oregon. How do you only drop Alabama from 1-5 when they're a 17.5-point favorite and they lose to an unranked team outright? I mean, I don't understand how they're not 9 or 10 at this point.
I agree with you because they get special treatment because of Nick Saban in every circle.
Right. It's
there's
a joke.
There's no getting around it. It's
a
really
joke. They always allow Alabama in. It's like an opportunity. They can get one loss no matter how bad it is. We'll always put Alabama within the top 7 in terms of that situation.
Well, I also think that it's terrible for college football. I just think it's getting so stale that everything revolves around Alabama. And I don't care what anybody in Alabama thinks. Either they can kiss my ass.
It is incredible. It's like, you know, so now Alabama, in order to actually kick them out, they're going to have to lose a game down the stretch, whether it be to Auburn, whether it be to LSU. That's going to be the only way, or in obviously the SEC championship game. But at the end of the day, it would be fun to see another team in the West step up over the Crimson Tide. But we'll see.
Well, does Mississippi State have any chance against them in Starkville?
Well, they've lost 13 straight to the Crimson Tide by an average margin of defeat of 24.2 points per game. But I'll say this. I was on Texas A&M last week. Everybody that bet first half money line on Alabama and obviously for the game is going to double down this week. It's back-to-back road games. Alabama has not looked good in true road environments. Both games on the road in terms of the swamp, and last week they haven't covered. I don't count week one on a neutral field against Miami, a true road environment. So if we're just going off that trend, I'm taking the 17.5 with Miss State. I might even take them. They're plus 9.5 at plus 100 on FanDuel for the first half. I'm gonna roll the dice with Miss State in this ballgame.
Listen to Joe. He's going to get out a bottle of red and roll the dice on Miss State. Your boy, the swashbuckler, Mike Leach, getting involved. Kentucky and Georgia between the hedges in Athens. The number is 21.5. That is incredible to me because of their defense. Only 33 points allowed the entire season. That they just think that Georgia's going to spank undefeated Kentucky.
Well, I tell you what, Kentucky lost this game 14-3 last year. They covered. They've lost 11 straight to Georgia. They're playing with house money. Again, they win this ball game, Kentucky. They're in the driver's seat in terms of the SEC East. They'll have wins over Georgia and Florida, respectively. So they have the head-to-head. It's incredible. So, I know that they're not a lethal offense, but they're strong in the interior. You're going to give me 3 touchdowns with Kentucky. I'll take my chances, Will Levis and the crew.
I'm all over that 21.5. I'm with you. Iowa laying 11.5 at Kinnick against Purdue. And the thing that bothers me about Iowa, they beat Penn State, yet for 3 days after the game, they kept talking about how Penn State players fake injuries. I mean, learn how to win. I mean, you're still crying about the game that you win at home and you get all the calls?
I know. Let's be honest. I mean, gutty win, no doubt. Obviously, the Clifford injury hurt, but credit Iowa. They got it done. But this is a team that really is no margin for error. They don't have a lethal offense. They need to be motivated each and every week, and they're playing a team in Purdue that beat them last year. Last three games have been decided by an average of 4 points per game. I know Purdue, Jack Plummer's out, but at the end of the day, they have a type of explosive offense that could really challenge Iowa over the top, and their defense, Purdue's not bad. They're good against the run, great third down defense, so they could be in this ball game catching 11.5. I like Purdue here. I'm taking a lot of dogs. Uh-oh.
Whoa,
scary.
Listen to Joe going with the Boilermakers in Iowa City. Wow. All right, BYU going to Waco. Both teams 5-1. Baylor laying 5.
Yep. And here's another one. I mean, again, BYU, a disappointing loss to Hank Backmeyer and Boise State, but this game, to me, going to be one in the trenches. I don't know if Baylor can match up physically with the offense and defensive lines of BYU. I know that Baylor, Romney's out. Jaren Hall's going to utilize his legs. Tyler Algier could have a big day. I know speed teams traditionally give BYU problems, but again, going on the road, the one thing that you have to do is run the football. That travels well and be good against the run. That's what BYU does, and I think they could shut down Jerry Bohannon. West Virginia came out flat last week. It was a garbage play by me. I picked them, but they came out flat, not motivated. I think BYU is a different animal. I think they win the ball game outright.
Oklahoma's in Norman Land, 13.5 to TCU. They run the tables. They play Bedlam in Stillwater Thanksgiving Saturday. Does Oklahoma do that? Run the tables all the way to Bedlam, and do they cover against TCU?
Yeah, I think they do. This is one of my better plays. I think, listen, the monkey's off their back now. I mean, there's no starting slow. You're down 28-7. You're on life support. You find a way to get that victory and cover. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Now you have to start fast. You won 7 straight over TCU by 13.5 points per game. I think they start. I don't care who starts a quarterback. I think it's a bad matchup for TCU. They got blown out last year by 19 points in Fort Worth. Too much speed. They're not going to be able to run on Oklahoma's defense.
Ole Miss is in Knoxville against the Vols, and the Vols are getting 2.5.
Yeah, well, Tennessee's trying to be like Ole Miss. The problem is it's year one for Josh Heupel, year two for Lane Kiffin. He's got the marquee quarterback, laying a short number. I've been on Tennessee in recent weeks. This is not a matchup I'm willing to back them here. I think this is a bad matchup for their defense. I think Ole Miss, honestly, blows them out here. It might be close for a quarter, but the speed of Ole Miss on the perimeter is the difference, especially when you have Matt Corral as the trigger man. Blowout special, 10 points or more, laying 2.5. I think Ole Miss dominates.
NC State's in Chestnut Hill against BC. Both teams are 4-1. NC State laying a field goal.
Don't love the game, but I would lean to the rushing attack and the front seven of NC State. Better quarterback play. I think NC State covers, but I don't really like the game.
Arizona State's at Utah and Salt Lake. It's a pick 'em now. Arizona State's 5-1, Utah 3-2.
Yeah, Utah got that victory. First time in USC they beat the Trojans since 1916, Scott. It's amazing. Now they're playing with house money. They won this ballgame 21-3 last year. But Arizona State, to me, better quarterback, better offense, even better front seven here. I love the way Arizona State's playing, laying basically 1.5. I think it might even be a pick. Give me Arizona State in this ballgame.
Couple of ACC games, Pitt at Vatech. 3:30 in Blacksburg, Pitt laying 5. And then Miami and North Carolina and Chapel Hill, North Carolina laying 7.5.
I would lay the wood with North Carolina. And, you know, I've been on Miami, but coming off a loss, North Carolina, to me, better quarterback. They're going to throw all day on Miami. And then I'm going to roll the dice with Vatech here. I'm not a believer in terms of Kenny Pickett, not a believer in Narduzzi. Last time they were here, they got blown out 28-0 2 years ago. I like Vatech to cover this line.
Iowa State's playing in Manhattan against Kansas State. Iowa State laying 6.5. Both teams are 3-2.
Yeah, I would lay it with Iowa State. Don't love it, really. Both teams, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, Skylar Thompson, Kansas State, they always find a way to cover. They got blown out last year. I just think it's a bad matchup for K-State. Actually, Iowa State can move the football, very physical. They could shut down the run. I like Iowa State and Brock Purdy here. Don't love the game, though.
Stanford at Washington State, the Cardinal laying one. Both teams are 3-3.
Give me Washington State. I like Washington State here. I think Stanford reverts back to form. They overexceeded expectations after the loss to Arizona State. I like Wash State in the mild upset here.
UCLA and Washington at Husky Stadium. Washington laying 1.5 to the 4-2 Bruins.
It's so disappointing, Washington. I'm gonna lay it with the Huskies. I hate this game, because Washington has not lived up to expectations. I hate Chip Kelly, but his offense is more complete, but I'll give the edge to the defense in Washington. I think they cover this line. Don't love the game. Not going to be betting it.
Air Force is 5-1. They're getting 3.5 at Boise.
Ooh, you know, this is tough, because I think Air Force covers. I'll tell you, Boise's weakness is in run support. Give me Air Force. They cannot shut down the run, Boise State. And I know they did it against BYU for the most part, but Air Force is a different animal. Triple option, bad matchup for Boise State's front seven.
I always know when someone's a better. And they got heavy action on games all day, and they suffer through it. When I say the game to Joe, and Joe goes, "Ooh,"
it's tough. That's because all. You know, it's like I'm hoping to get. I gotta get to that window. You know, when you know I'm locked and loaded at the 12 o'clock window tomorrow. It's gonna be. I tell you, I'm really curious to see how these games play out. But in that matchup with Boise State, that's been the biggest change for Boise State. Their front seven, Scott. Their defense is atrocious this year. Even though they stepped up on the road last week, overall. Their front seven, they're not physical at the point of attack. So triple option could be a different animal when they face it tomorrow.
Army's 4-1. They're playing in Madtown at Camp Randall against crappy 2-3 Wisconsin. And Wisconsin's laying 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, one of my best bets of the day. I think Wisconsin gets right in a big way. The problem is we talked about, obviously, front seven, and we talked about stopping the triple option. The way you do it is with big physical defensive tackles. That's what Wisconsin has. They can run it will, I think, on Army's front seven. Obviously, totals 39, but I think there's a blowout special. I think Wisconsin manhandles them. They have Iowa on deck. They can't afford to overlook Army. I think Wisconsin gets right in a big way. I think they dominate this ball game by, honestly, they might win it by 4 touchdowns.
All right, Joe, enjoy all the games tomorrow and Sunday. Always great having you on the bench, brother. Have a kick-ass weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, brother. Love the show.
My man, Joe Lisi, go for the 2. Always on the bench, waxing up and talking about college football. We love it every week. The Astros have 2 on, nobody out in the bottom of the 8th, and they lead 4-3 over the Red Sox.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So Altuve's error led to a 3-1 Red Sox lead. His 2-run homer in the 6th tied the game at 3s. Correa's home run gave him a 4-3 lead. Now there's nobody out. Bases loaded after Sawamura beaned a batter. Bases full. Nobody out. And Altuve's up again. A single blows the game wide open. A home run ends it automatic. And he's 1-2 the count right now. Astros lead it by a run in the bottom of the 8th at Minute Maid. Oregon leads Cal right before the half, 10-7. 6 minutes before the half in San Jose, it's San Diego State and San Jose State tied at 3s. Marshall blew out North Texas 49-21. Clemson edged Syracuse 17-14. That late night game, Wild Ducks 1-1 after two periods on the pond. The Warriors lead the Blazers 108-82, 8 minutes left. Heat beat the Celtics. Knicks by a bucket over the Wizards. Pistons over the Sixers. Cavs beat the Pacers. Bulls blew out the Grizzlies. Mavs easy over the Bucks. And the Spurs 126-98 over the Rockets. There's a drive. Caught by Kike. Play at the plate. Maybe safe. 5-3 now, Houston. And so one out, the sack fly on a line drive. It's a two-run lead for the Astros in the eighth with one out. Runners still on first and second. Killer college football all day tomorrow. Pain Day Pros Sunday. Plus, you got UFC and Bellator. Get all the picks at PharrellOnTheBench.com. I'll see you Monday at 4 on Coast to Coast. Have a great weekend. Good night.